done. Now, it may take me about 5 hours to get finished this morning because I got a lot to say. Okay, well, do you mean that? So you don't mind if I preach for 5 hours? Well, Nick doesn't, so if it doesn't bother Nick, then... Well, good, praise the Lord. You're the only one in the entire church that would allow me to preach for 5 hours. I didn't get very many amens on that. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to begin to read in verse 18. While you're turning, for those in our church family who remember the Smith family, Patty and her children were members here for several years. The calling hours are at the Amos Carvelli Funeral Home right after the service till 8 this evening, and then there will be a funeral service tomorrow there at Amos Carvelli. I believe it's at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. So if you would pray for Patty, many of you know her and keep contact with her. Pray for her and for all the kids, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll begin to read here in verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Father, I thank you for your book. I thank you that it's perfect. I thank you that we can rest upon it. We can believe it and use it, Lord, to not only become more like your Son, but to see our lives advantaged and blessed. I ask that you be pleased to bless your word. You've given a promise it will not return void. I accept that. And Father, I thank you for what you will do in our hearts and minds today. It will not be your word that fails. It will be us who fail if we refuse to listen or refuse to heed. So Lord, give us ears to hear and hearts to comprehend your word. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 6 days we will gather with church members past and present there on Saturday evening. And I don't know if you're looking forward to it as much maybe as I am, but I'm really excited about this. I do know there are a number of folks coming in from out of state, and so that will be a very blessed evening, just making fellowship with folks we haven't seen some for many years. So I trust that you will do everything in your power to set that time aside and be here. And again, it should be a blessed time as we look back at the 40 years that we have been a church family. And much more so, looking forward to the future. As you see the banner behind me, a bright future and a blessed past. And our goal is not to dwell on the past, because that really does us no good, but we're to press forward to the future. And if the Lord should tarry and give this church another 40 years, I hope whoever is pastoring at that time can stand here at that time, at its 80th celebration, and say the Lord has been good to us. Can say that this church has stayed true to the truth of God's word. And we can say that for this 40th anniversary. So I'm just looking forward to it. Verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Now listen to me. This church, well, let me put it this way. The church is not a building. It's a body. The church is not brick and mortar. It is not sheetrock and carpet and wooden pews. That's not the church. Now, sometimes you will be asked, oh, where is Grace Baptist Church? We were out door knocking yesterday, and inevitably Tom and I had people ask, where is Grace Baptist Church? And the response is, well, the church is on the corner of Oil Lake Road and Route 76, just right outside the city limits of Bridgeport. Or, you know, if someone wants a physical address, so it's 861 Oil Lake Road. But I'm here to tell you this morning, that's not really true. The truth is that Grace Baptist Church is in California. That's the truth. Church is in California. You say, what in the world are you talking about? Well, this morning we have two of our very faithful members who make California their home during the winter, and in a month or two they'll be back home, and Lannis will be back singing in the choir. They'll be here faithful to the services again. Lannis and Cheryl McGinnis are in California right now, and they are Grace Baptist Church. Grace Baptist Church is in Texas this morning. Nathaniel Smith, who's now a member of the United States Navy, studying there with his classes in Texas. Grace Baptist Church is in Texas. Grace Baptist Church is in Pennsylvania this morning at a hospital called University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, watching over their little boy, praying over their little boy, the Gillespies. Grace Baptist Church is not a building. It's a body. You see, the church is not, again, a building. You are the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. Now, what does the Holy Spirit mean when he tells us that we are the body of Christ? Or what is Christ's body? We are Christ's body. What does that mean? Well, I want you to go with me to Ephesians chapter 1 for a moment. Ephesians chapter 1, and I want you to look at verse 17. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. There in Ephesians 1, 17, the Bible says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. By the way, that's one of the things I pray for you daily. This is what part of what I pray for you every single day of my life. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now listen to verses 22 and 23 carefully. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You notice at the end of verse 22, it says, and gave to him, to Jesus, to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body. When Paul said to the church at Corinth, now, you are the body of Christ, he's saying, you are the church of Christ. Not brick and mortar. Not carpet on a floor or wooden benches that you sit upon. That's not the church. Now, we so often identify the church in a physical location. 861 Oil Lake Road is where you're going to find Grace Baptist Church. Well, right now that's true, because many of our membership are right here in this building this morning. But it's not this material that we sit upon or gaze upon. You are the body of Christ. You are the church of Christ. Colossians 1:18, and he, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Colossians 1:24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind with the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Now you are the body of Christ. And you are the body of Christ. And I am the body of Christ. I'm part of the church. Now, some Christians misapply the thought of the church to a universal status. The word Catholic actually means universal. And we understand there is a mentality that there's a universality of the church, so to speak. There are believers in Paraguay today. There are believers in Belarus. There are believers in Japan. There are believers in Finland and in New Zealand. There are believers everywhere. So many times we think in the terms of the universal church, but I want you to understand, when God addresses the church, very rarely, if ever, does he address that attitude of a universal church. He addresses the body of a local assembly. The word church means a called out assembly. We have been called out of sin and into his marvelous light. We have been made children of God, and we are the assembly, the church. Listen, are there believers in Uruguay today? Yes. Are there members of Christ's body in Ethiopia? Yes. Are there members of Christ's body in Portugal? Absolutely. There are even members of the body of Christ in Fiji. And if I had my choice between a place like Uruguay and Fiji, I would probably choose Fiji, you know, something like that. There are bodies or members of Christ's body everywhere. But you know what I can't do with the members of the body of Christ in Uruguay today or in Miramar or in Fiji this morning? I can't fellowship with them. I can't gather together with them to pray. I can't preach to them. When God speaks about the church, while there is the thought of a universal church in the sense of believers all over this globe, the focus is always, listen to me, on the local church. The local church. The church is fleshed out in places like this all over this country today and literally all over the world. Some are much smaller and some are much larger. But throughout this world, there are local churches gathering together. And that's exactly the way the Bible describes it. Listen to these things. You don't have to turn there, but listen. 1 Corinthians 1:2. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth. 1 Thessalonians 1:1. Unto the church of the Thessalonians. Colossians 4:16. The church of the Laodiceans. 1 Peter 5:13. The church that is at Babylon. Philemon 1:2. Unto Philemon and the church in thy house. Now, can you imagine if there was only one church fitting everybody into your house? All the believers worldwide into your house. Obviously, that wouldn't be possible. It wouldn't be possible to fit them in this place. Romans 16:4-5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. And who had that congregation? A husband and wife named Aquila and Priscilla, who had been a great aid to the Apostle Paul and had such influence on others as well. Now, when you listen to the words of 2 Corinthians 11:28, this is Paul speaking about all the trials and sufferings that he had gone through, all the things he had to do in serving his Lord, and he put this final statement on his presentation to the church at Corinthians, there, 2 Corinthians 11:28, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of, now listen, all the churches. The focus in the New Testament is on the local church, the local assembly, the local body of Christ. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. I cannot express how important the church is. And again, I'm not talking about the universal church. I have people say, I don't really need to be a member of the church. Yes, you do.
Amen.
I don't need to be in a church house. Yes, you do. If it was important to Jesus Christ that he established it that way, then it ought to be important to us. Now, I guess I'm kind of preaching to the choir because you're here, but you understand where I'm going with this. Remember the words of Jesus, Matthew 16:18. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the way he built it was to bring about local assemblies, whether it was at Babylon or at Laodicea or at Thessalonica or in Rome or in Jerusalem or at Antioch or wherever it may have been. He created local assemblies, which is his body. You and I are the body of Christ. And what should the body do? What should the body do? What's the body all about? Well, I want us to focus here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want you to notice some things about what the body is about this morning. So what's the body about? It's about pleasing him. It's about pleasing him. Go back to verse 18 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. God put you at Grace Baptist Church. God put you here. If I believe what verse 18 says, then it was God's doing to put you in this body. It's interesting. 75 years ago, the dynamics of the state of West Virginia were far different than they are today. We, all across this nation, were very transient. I'm from the state of Ohio originally. My wife's a Georgian. We've got people here who have lived in the South, the Northeast, the West. We've got people who've moved into this area. We're all different. We all think differently. We have different philosophies. We've all been brought together to make up this local assembly. God brought you here. God brought me here. It's definite that God brought me here to West Virginia. He made that extremely plain to me. When God answers a prayer within 35 seconds, I know God put me here. I know he did. God put you here as it hath pleased him. So, if God has put you here as it hath pleased him, shouldn't we be about pleasing him through this church? Remember what we saw last week as we studied 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? And we went to the book of Hebrews quite a bit, there to that great Hall of Faith chapter in Hebrews 11, and Hebrews 11:6 says, now without faith it is impossible to do what? You know what your life is to be about? Just pleasing him. If pleasing him means death, then so be it. For me to live is Christ, Paul said, and to die is what? Whether it's to have what we would consider success or not, it's just about pleasing him. It pleased God to put you in this congregation, and therefore, since it pleased God to put you in particular in this place, we ought to turn and please him. That is part of what the church is about. It is about realizing that God put us here. I mean, North Carolina, South Korea. It doesn't matter where you have come from. Listen, God brought you to Bridgeport, West Virginia, and placed you in this local assembly, in this body of Christ, to please him. Amen. To please him. This is no chance thing. This is no mistake. God has placed you here. What's the body about? Well, it's about pleasing him, but it's also about being one. All right, God was pleased to put me here in this body of believers. God was pleased to put the Sims in this body of believers and the Homesteads in this body of believers and each of us in this body of believers. Now, because we come from so many different backgrounds and different ways of thinking, there is a need for oneness. Would you not say amen to that? Oneness. What's the body about? It's about pleasing Him, and it's also about being one. Look at verses 19 and 20. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now they are many members, yet one body. Yet one body. We understand, just like in the example, the picture here is of the human body. Your human body has many members. As you go back in this chapter, it says, if everybody were the ear, you know, where were the seeing? If everybody were the eye, where were the hearing? I mean, listen, you have all kind of members to your body. Fingers, toes, knees, lungs, hearts, eyes, ear. You got many members that make up the body. And somehow this human body has to learn to function and work together. We have people in here who are in medicine. You understand far better than anyone else the need for the body to work in harmony, to act and work as one. And when that doesn't happen, there's trouble, isn't there? There's trouble. In the spiritual body, God says, now look, you local assembly at Bridgeport, West Virginia, called Grace Baptist Church, you local assembly are the body of Christ, and you need to be one. You need to be one. Go with me to Philippians chapter 1, or Philippians chapter 2. Now I want you to look at this attitude of being one. Philippians chapter 2, and look at verse 1. Philippians 2:1 says, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. There's a need to be one, one-minded, of one accord, working together and looking at each other and, as the Bible plainly tells us, esteeming others better than ourselves. Listen, I have an agenda. Now, I'm the pastor, so God works through the pastor for the sake of the body. But there are times where even the pastor needs to take a step back and say, you know what? I've seen things this way, but understanding where you're at and the situation you find yourself in, maybe I need to change things up a little bit. Listen, just being willing to work together, minister together. It's not about having my way or the highway. It might be about letting other people have their way. Esteeming others better than themselves. Looking on others' things instead of our own things. Like everything that I want to do is the priority. Not necessarily. The attitude here, without going into a long explanation, because that's not really the focus this morning of the message. But the point is, what is the body? What's the body all about? The body is about being one. Getting along. Working together. You know, God has allowed some of our folks to have ministries that God has envisioned in their hearts and minds. For instance, Brother Nick just started a Bible study there at Pierpont College. I'm grateful for that. Brother Shearer is telling me that the faculty, that's so interesting to me, the faculty at Salem International University, want to have a Bible study. And he is working with that. I'm grateful for that. When Brother Streets was here, the VA ministry that he had, and we have the Good News Club ministry, and all these different things that go on, I'm grateful for those. But there's a problem when people say, my ministry is superior to everybody else's ministry. That should never be. The attitude should be, listen, let's work together as one. Let's have the same mind. Let's esteem others better than themselves. What is the body about? The body is about pleasing Him. The body is about being one, having that unity. What's the body about? Look at verses 21 and 22. It's about needing each other. Verse 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Sometimes, and I've been guilty of this too, esteeming certain ministries within the church as more important than others. Giving more honor, if you would, seeing certain ministries as more needful to the health and the well-being of this local body than others. You know, in your human body, if you begin to have that same attitude, it brings neglect to certain parts of your body. And that can be devastating to your health, can't it? Listen, what's the body about? I'm talking about the local body of believers. What's the body about? It's about meeting each other, seeing that each person's ministry is necessary. Each person's ministry is necessary. Go back with me for a moment, to Romans chapter 12. Now, I want you to look at verses 4 through 8. Romans chapter 12. And look at verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith. That's what I'm doing this morning. I'm prophesying. I'm preaching. That's the attitude of the word prophecy. And God has given this church over the years, and you'll see three of those men who will stand in this pulpit next week and preach. God has given men in this church the ability to prophesy. Or have men right here in this church right now that could come up here and adequately present God's word. They could prophesy, could preach. That's a gift to the church. Verse 7. Or ministry. Let us wait on our ministry. What is ministry? It is just serving. The office of the deacon is the same word that we would use the word servant or serving or ministry. Listen, that is a gift to the church. And we might elevate sometimes the prophet over the one who has the gift of ministry, but God says we should not do that because the gift of ministry is just as important as the gift of prophecy in many ways. I think about what Mike and Joan and Carrie and Rosie and others did this past Tuesday to minister to a grieving family. For that family, it wasn't the pastor, it was them who showed the love and the care and the concern and who met a need. Listen, that's important. Verse 7 again, or he that teacheth on teaching, God has given us able teachers. Whether for our children or our young people or our adult, God has given us able teachers. There are so many things to cover in the Word of God. And there's no way to get what you need by just coming on a Sunday morning service. It is literally impossible. If you just come Sunday morning, I'll just be honest with you, you're robbing yourself. You're robbing yourself to hear those who teach in our assembly, the different age groups, different classes. You're robbing yourself. And God said, I give to the church this gift of the teacher, verse 8, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, learning to be able to console someone, comfort someone. That is actually a gift that God gives to the church. Or he that giveth, let him do it simplicity. Everybody's supposed to tithe. Everybody's supposed to give to the work of the Lord. But God has also gifted some, whether because they have a greater income or they just have a bigger heart and they constantly see the vision. They're constantly reaching out and ministering to people. And they do it in an anonymous way. They hear someone has a special bill, they'll provide money for that. They know they have a need for, you know, tires for the car, they'll provide for that, things like that. That is actually a gift to the church. Verse 8 again, he that ruleth with diligence. We have men that God has equipped to help make right decisions for this congregation. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for our deacons. I'm grateful for the trustees. I'm grateful for those men. And I pray for them daily. And I ask God to give them a spirit of servanthood, that they personally would grow close to the Lord and have wisdom and have a servant spirit to the Lord and to God's people. They are necessary in the work of the ministry, and he that showeth mercy. If you got the gift of prophecy, you probably would look at someone, and when they're struggling, you say, you just need to get right with God. Or if they're hurting, you would say, you just need to get over it and go forward. The gift of prophecy can be devastating if not handled properly. So God equips people within his body to have a gift called mercy, that when people are down, they lift them up. It's not always good to get browbeaten. It's not always good to have that kick in the pants. Sometimes you need loved. And God gives people that gift of mercy. So here's the point. Cheryl McCray has gifts from the Holy Spirit. Janet Zork has gifts from the Holy Spirit. Mike Nicewander has gifts given to him from the Holy Spirit. And as a body, we need all the gifts. We're all needed to make this church family properly function. What's the body about? It's about pleasing him. It's about being one. It's about needing each other. It's about honoring each other. Look at verses 23 and 24. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. The dominating word in those two verses is honor. Giving honor. And I am guilty of this, not giving honor to people to whom honor is due. This church cannot function without every member using their gifts to move this ministry forward. But we have a number of folks who do use their spiritual gifts to make this ministry go forward, and they deserve honor. I cannot get along without Tom McCray. Now, maybe you don't know this. He cleans this church every week. He doesn't get praised for that, but he deserves it. It's nice to walk in a building that doesn't have garbage all over it or doesn't smell like a barn. I can't get along without Tom McCray. I can't get along without Dave Davis. Long before you come and step foot in this church, he is here preparing for our Sunday school hour. He's been our Sunday school secretary for, I don't know, how many years, Dave? How many years has it been? Too many? About 40 years. Yeah, he's been church secretary or Sunday school secretary about that long. I can't get along without Patty Hickman. Now, you see her up here playing the piano, but she does more than that. We send people out, get well cards and cards when people are in bereavement, cards to... I can't get along without her. One, I don't got time to sit down with my schedule and write out notes. I do, but I can't write out all those. And she's done that, I don't know how many years, been faithful to do these things. I can't get along without Tom Marsh. Now, you really don't see him on Sunday mornings. You say, why doesn't he sit in the service? It's because he's sitting back in that sound booth. And if you want to hear me, somebody has to run the equipment. I can't get along without people like Tanya Abraham and Raylene, my daughter-in-law. They're there doing the Sunday or the Awana secretarial work every week. Just faithful. And while I can't run without all the records being kept, I can't get along without a guy like Keith Davis. He's faithful to serve in our counting ministry. You see these men come through and collect the offerings. Somebody has to count it. Somebody has to take it to the bank. Someone has to make sure that those things are done properly. I mean, we could get in huge trouble with the IRS. Listen, you would not even begin to understand the requirements now placed on churches by the Internal Revenue Service. It changes every year, and more restrictions and responsibilities are placed on us. We need men who have integrity, whether it's him or Sonny or Dave or any of the men who help count money. Listen, it's a needed ministry. I can't get along without a guy like Gerald Smith. Just standing at that door and making people feel welcome when they walk in the building. Handing them a bulletin and just putting a smile on somebody's face through a kind comment or joking with them. Listen, I could name a bunch of other people who seldom get praise. You know, we go over there and we see the new classrooms, and there were a number of men, but the man who worked in that most of all was Greg Zork. He didn't do it to get praise. He did it because he loves a Savior. You're going to go over there this next week and you're going to see the building coming to life and more things being done. Dave Noss, Grant Smith has spent countless hours in there. Listen, when you're at home, they're in the evenings, sometimes very late in the evenings, working, installing electrical equipment and those kind of things. I could just go on and on. Bob and Rosie Miller, it pleases me to no end that when you go home in the afternoon, Bob and Rosie are downstairs in that kitchen cleaning it, taking care of it. That to me, that may not be a big deal to you, but it is to me. I think about the people who drive the vans. Think about Darby and Mallory on a Wednesday night. When you're at home at 10 o'clock at night, they're just now pulling back in the parking lot. And they won't be getting home until about 11 o'clock at night. But you know what they do? They never complain about ministering. And I use those names, and I know I could have said many others. They deserve honor. They deserve honor. It's about honoring each other. It's about needing each other. It's about being one. It's about pleasing Him. One other I want you to notice here as we close this morning. It's about caring for each other. Look at verses 25 and 26. That there should be no schism. The word schism means division. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. I've given the illustration different times using this passage about, you know, if you're out working on your roof and you smack your thumb, you know, your whole body joins in sympathy with your thumb. When one member of the body suffers, all the members suffer with it. John Elliott and his family suffering. Right now, the Noss family and the Gillespies are suffering. The Electric family with Joel suffering. Don and Marianne suffering. And when one member of the body suffers, here's what should happen. All the members suffer with it. And when a member is honored, we shouldn't get jealous. We should rejoice. We should rejoice. It's about caring for one another. And I just got to thinking about that phrase this week, whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. And it's just a reminder that God, listen to me, God does intend for believers to suffer. I'm not talking about God being unkind. I'm saying it's part of God's plan. In this world ye shall have tribulation. Just so God can show Himself strong. God did not give my son complex congenital heart disease to be cruel. God did not give my wife lupus to be cruel. God did not give my nephew that disease, I can never remember the name, and cause these amputations to be cruel. God wants to show Himself strong on my nephew's behalf, and my son's behalf, and my wife's behalf, and John and Amy's behalf, and Donna Marianne's behalf, and Karen Jordan's behalf. Listen. God wants to show Himself strong, and He allows suffering. I don't like it. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't like it. But I receive it. I accept it. Now listen to me. Here's part of the way that God uses suffering so that you can care for those that suffer. So that I can care for those who suffer. The privilege of being part of the body of Christ is so that we can suffer with those members and care for them. Does that make sense? Look at verse 27 one last time. Now, ye are the body of Christ. The word ye, I believe, maybe it's in the plural form, but the point is, forget the person beside you, in front of you, behind you. You are the body of Christ. And I need to operate as though there was no other part of the body of Christ, no other member of the body of Christ, and it's my responsibility to minister. Then it's my responsibility to care, and it's my responsibility to please God, and it's my responsibility to create an atmosphere of oneness. It's my responsibility to do these things. And if we all have that attitude as individual members of the body, then there'll be a harmony within the body, and we'll see the body of Christ fleshed out in a place called Grace Baptist Church, located at 861 Oral Lake Road, in an abundant and a blessed way. That has been done for 40 years. Oh, listen, not without problems at times, not without failures of men like myself who have stood in the pulpit and have not always done the smartest thing in the world. But I can look back and say, and I've been here for 20 of the 40 years, and I look at what God has done, and I say, praise God from whom all blessings flow. He's been very, very good to us. If there are limitations, I take that on myself. If there have been limitations to the church, it falls on leadership. But I can still say this has been a blessed ministry. Now let's forget the past in the sense that we don't need to dwell there. We've got, if the Lord doesn't come back, we've got another 40 years. People to see saved, believers who need to grow, people like a Dave Seabolt who need to leave this congregation and go pastor. There's some men in here that really probably should go pastor. We need some other aerial winds who leave this church and go to the mission field. Let's be about the business. We've had a blessed past. But brother, the future is bright. And I don't get to preach next week, so I'm kind of preempting the anniversary by giving you just my heart today. I love the church. I love my Savior. And I want to see this church continue forward. However long it is, good night. We may only have a few more weeks. And quite frankly, I hope that's true because I want Jesus to come back. I want him to come. I'm ready for him to come. But if he chooses not to come yet, then I hope Grace Baptist Church will stay strong for the years, the decades to come. Whatever God has in the future of this world, that this church would stay strong. So let me say to you, as your pastor, thank you for being part of the body. Thank you for your ministries. Whether it's cleaning a toilet, or cleaning a sink in the kitchen, or changing a baby's diaper in the nursery, or running the soundboard in the sound room, whether it's driving a church van, whether it's going out door knocking, soul winning, whether it's singing in the choir, whatever it may be, thank you for your ministry. And pray that God will keep a spirit of unity in this place. That God would use this church. That God would take it to even greater heights. Pray that God would give us revival. Pray that God would do a great work in this place. Remember, the church is not a building. The church is a body. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Let's bow our heads for prayer. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Obviously, this has not been a soul-winning message. It's not necessarily a get-your-heart-right-with-God message. But there could be somebody here whose soul needs to be saved. And I just want you to know that Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you. He wants to save you if you'll allow him to save you. He died on Calvary for you, shed His blood for you, and has the power to forgive your sin. You cannot save yourself. You cannot get to heaven by your goodness. You cannot get to heaven by your own religious means. You need to put your faith and trust alone in Jesus Christ. And you can do that before you walk out of this place. If you don't know Him, we'd be glad to have somebody take the Word of God and show you how you can know. We'll have a time we call the invitation. I encourage you to come so we can show you how you can be saved. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not right with God and you know it. And that the Holy Spirit brings conviction. And if you're not right with Him, you got some sin in your life that needs to be dealt with. You got to hit this altar as quickly as you can and get right with God. Maybe you've never been baptized. Maybe you never honored the Lord by following the Lord in believer's baptism. Or maybe you're just a faithful member here and you just want to rejoice this morning over what God has given us. Whatever God leads you to do this morning, I trust you'll be obedient to the Holy Spirit, to His leading during this time of invitation. Again, Father, thank You for Your Word. Use it for Your glory's sake in the hearts of lives here today. We pray these things in Your Son's name. Let's stand together.